and welcome to PharmD Unscripted, where we inspire you, educate you, and guide you to write the prescription for your life. I am Dr. Bree.
And I am Dr. Laquita J.
We are your hosts of this lovely podcast. So, without further ado, let's get unscripted. Welcome to this week's episode of PharmD Unscripted. Dr. Laquita J and I will be discussing financial dieting. If you are thinking about changing career paths, more often than not, you must be prepared to take a pay cut. Even if you're totally satisfied in the position that you currently have and you're making great money, the pay may not always be the same. It could change tomorrow or even a year from now. So you have to be financially prepared. I found an interesting statistic. According to the United States labor statistics, there is currently an estimated 58% of U.S. pharmacists working in a retail setting. It is also predicted that there will be a significant drop in the total number of jobs available in the retail setting. So, ask yourself honestly, can you maintain your current lifestyle if you weren't to have this position that you have today, making the same amount of money? Or if you want to change and go to another career path or pharmacy career that pays less money?
So financial dieting is a fancy phrase for a money diet, and it is restricting your spending habit. So just like you go on a diet for weight loss, you're going on a diet for your finances. So we found an article from financialdiet.com, and it's the 10 commandments of financial dieting, and we want to have a conversation about them. So Dr. Bree?
Yes. So the first commandment is always have a budget. No matter how much money you have or that you make, if you don't know where your money is going, you'll never be financially healthy. And so I saw a quote also by Dave Ramsey, which said a budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. And I know when I graduated from pharmacy school making six figures, because I did start out in community or retail setting, I would be saying, I don't know where my money is going. Because I think that you just kind of like, oh, you know you have it, so you spend it. So I had to really evaluate my spending habits, really get on a budget. And shout out to my financial advisor, Rodney Griffin, who really helped me set a budget, get my savings plan together, and understand how much money I needed to spend for specific areas, and also build my savings. And that helped me so much. So shout out to him. He's a great financial advisor if you're looking for one. I also took some financial classes with Social Money Finance, and they have an online platform, which is amazing. So if you're thinking about getting married and you want to sit down and talk about finances, they have a class for that. She sets budgets for you. So that's amazing too. And that helped me in my financial budgeting area.
Okay, for me, I just always been on a budget because I always had to be on a budget. I had to make sure whatever income I had to last me, you know, to the next paycheck. I have always been a person just having a budget. And one thing I do use that I really like is Mint.com. It's a platform where you can track so many things like your credit score, your debt, your investments, and bills. And you also can create budgets for saving goals, for trips, even a budget to pay off your debt, like whatever you want to do, you can create a budget for that. And I really like that. And it also like send reminders. So I go into the app like every single month and try to see like review where is my spending went to. And one thing I like about it too is that it categorizes your spending. So it has a category so you can say like food. Okay, you look at food and it breaks down like everything when you link all your credit cards together. Mm-hmm. It puts like in food, so where either you can see if it's been from the grocery store or you're just eating out a lot. And I really like that. And it's color coordinated, so it makes like a pie chart every single time. And I love that. That's typically what I use.
Okay. And that's Mint, M-I-N-T?
Yes.
Okay,
yes, M-I-N-T, cool. Mint. It's and it's available as a website, mm-hmm, or as an app. So you may see intuitive. It's intuitive. Mint is the same thing. Okay. Number two is know your credit score, your investments, student loan debt, in addition to your other debts, you have to know where you stand. And I truly believe this. You have to know where you stand. And that's why, again, I love Mint, because Mint puts my student loans, my utility bills, my investments are all connected. So I know every single month where I stand. And every single month, it gives my free credit score report, actually. And I know where I stand. Like, it breaks down a credit, my credit score as well. So I can see that, hey, I need to make sure, you know, I can see what's affecting my credit score. So I can make sure that my credit card utilization is within 30% or more. Because, you know, once it's over 30%, it affects your credit score. Mm-hmm. So that's some things I make sure of that. And also, my credit score in particular updates every on the 14th of every month. So whenever I'm conducting business that require a credit check, I always make sure it's between like the 14th or the 25th of every month to make sure that I have, like, my credit is, like, top. Like, it's, like, premier. And also, it just gives you, like, when you log into Mint, it gives you your net worth. So, you know, okay, what I need to work on. So, that's what I really like about Mint.
I know sometimes this can be overwhelming to look at how much debt you have. But you really do have to do that so you can come up with a plan to attack it. So, yeah, that's all I have to add for that one.
I mean, that's true.
So that brings us to our third commandment, buy fewer things more intentionally. Focus on quality, versatility, and usefulness instead of instant gratification. I would say sometimes this can be hard because, you know, for a second, when I would be buying stuff like hair or extensions for other people who don't know, and clothes and go on a new trip or go someplace, oh, I need a new outfit. And so really what I had to learn was buying a few staple items and things that you can kind of switch up or things that can be versatile to save money. And even if I can't afford to do something, not always doing it or always buying it.
Yes, yes. I guess for me, I would say I'm very intentional because I try to continue to live like a pharmacy student. But there are certain habits I have picked up. For me, I think my instant gratification came from food.
Me too.
Because personally, I'm just an emotional and stress eater. So that's a thing too. And then coming in retail can be stressful at times. And it's also the thing of when I'm like, I've been on my feet for 10, 12 hours today. I'm not about to go home and cook. So the thing of now, you got to be more intentional. I try to be more intentional now, like try to meal prep. And then too, instant gratification where you have such a stressful day. It's like, oh, I want to eat out. I want this big meal or something.
Right. And, or going out for drinks because yes, I had that same issue. Like, I think that was where a lot of my money was going is food, going out to eat, going out to get a drink or, you know, celebrate with people and just spending money, not thinking about it because it's like, oh, I have it. So, yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
And I'm going to tell you something, and this may sound crazy to people. I'm going to tell you, it may sound crazy, but man, it's this lady, her name's Susie something. I'll link it. We'll get to it. I'll link it. But it's her name's Susie. I was on, it's some lady. She's like some lady. She's a financial person, though, I know. And she had a thing, she was like, write down everything you have spent in a month. And go, and when I tell you, I never forget, it was like the first couple of months of me working. I had spent over $1,000 in eating out. I said, ain't no way in hell. I done spent $1,000. Now I was like, man, okay,
they gotta change, okay.
drastically change. I was like, nah, I can't do that. So yeah, you definitely have to be more intentional. You really do. Yeah. So which brings us to number four. Think of your spending in terms of goals, and make your day-to-day decisions based on the long term. A designer coffee every day or a flight to Europe in 9 months?
I would say this is very important because when I got a financial advisor, he was basically kind of putting me on looking at things like long-term goals and really building up my savings. So when I quit my job, and it took a year to find my new job, even though I was doing some consulting. But I am happy to announce that I just got a new position in government. Yay! But I had to go a year with a major pay cut. Like, I think this year I literally lived off of $35,000, maybe about. And so I had to, before I quit my job, because that wasn't really planned, but I had a financial advisor the year before I quit my job. And so I had to save, I think I was saving maybe about, what did I tell you, $1,500 or $2,000 every month? Okay, yeah. So I was saving like $2,000 every month. And had I not done that, I would have been super broke, y'all. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I would have been broke, okay? And so I had to really make a conscious decision of saving and not spending any money during the time that I wasn't fully employed. And I had to really look at my long-term goals and really evaluate my day-to-day decisions that I was making. Because if I was overspending or if I had gotten to a lot of debt, I wouldn't have been able to do that or survive. So yeah, those small things count.
Yes, and I even like the thing how he says a designer coffee daily to a flight in Europe 6 months. And I think for me, I'm more a person who likes experiences.
Right.
So that's a definite thing. I always try to keep my end goals in mind in making decisions now. But I guess too, it just comes with life. Like, you have to mess up, and then once you identify you have messed up, you know, make the necessary changes to recoup from that mess up. Or, you know, I'll just basically learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, I agree. Because we all do make them. And I don't think anybody's just perfect or just always knows what to do financially. So, yeah. Which brings us to commandment number 5. Make indulgences and splurges a part of your financial life, but treat them as a rare and exciting thing that they are. Too many treats aren't treats anymore. They're a lifestyle. Ooh, child. Now, we're going to be calling some people out on this commandment now. Okay?
Yes, honey. That's a whole word for me right there, because I mean, living here, like, of course, okay, living in Wisconsin is just very hard for me. And the culture is just different. It's just different. And where I live at, I live, like, north Wisconsin, where I just don't see as many African-American, aka Black people, like I would like to see and be with, and especially successful Black people. So it's really hard for me because it's just so, I'm used to being in a place where it's really culturally diverse. So that's really hard for me. And one of my ways of coping is traveling. And, you know, traveling should be like it shouldn't be a splurge, but it has become a splurge in my life. However, the way I try to balance it is where, I mean, I just have to go somewhere every month. But when I do travel, I balance my budget. Like, I try to leverage on cities that are close, like Chicago, Minneapolis, or I try to use, like, my traveling points, stay with family when I go, or, you know, and then just, like, even comes to food, like, pet snacks, like, because I am a snacker, so, like, all I, you know, I can have my meals, but I am a snacker, and, like, I can just have that one meal and just snack all day or something. I try, you know, have that, but that has really become a splurge, and he's absolutely right with this, because I feel that's how I ended up with spending $1,000 of eating out in 3 months, is because of, I was just like, oh, you know, here, and I'm not tracking my finances, and I'm looking up in all those eating out places, because I don't believe in eating fast food. I believe in going to restaurants. So these are restaurants. I'm sitting down eating it all the time.
Right. And I know that I definitely was splurging on, like, when I would go out or travel. I didn't travel just a lot, but when I did travel, I would be having a good time and just spending, like, okay, I, you know, this is my treat to myself. But I know, especially in this generation, and travel groups are great because I know you get great rates and things, but you just have to be aware of how much money that you're really spending. And if you cut back, like maybe instead of 5 trips or 7 trips a year, maybe do 3, you know, or just looking at what is most cost effective. Also, just spending money when you're out socially, or even like sometimes I know like people putting their kids in private schools. Yes, you do want the best of the best, but sometimes though, you can save where you need to save. So you just really kind of have to look at what your indulgences are, what your splurges are, because that is true. Too many of them become a lifestyle, and it's not really just like, oh, I do this as a treat to myself. Now you have to keep this certain job, or you can't go below this amount of pay because of a lifestyle that you've adopted, which you really didn't have. It wasn't a necessity, but it was something that you created. So you have to really be mindful of that.
Yes, you do.
That brings us to our 6th commandment. Learn how to cook, how to repair, and make things yourself when possible. Invest in your skill sets as much as your bank accounts.
Yes, I totally agree with this. And that's one of the things too, because I know I kind of have a high traveling budget. I make sure I meal prep now. Like I have to meal prep. And again, I just have this mentality of sometimes just look like a pharmacy student, and where, I mean, my grocery budget, because it's only me, is no more the max of $60 a week. And I think that's still high.
You're a good DIY person too, though, because you always saying, I made this, I did this, or whatever. And it's like, it's inspired me, because I know a lot of times I would just buy stuff. I'll be like, look, I'm not about to be making that. I'm not about to be doing that. And you really kind of helped me with that. And I was saving a lot of money, like even when it comes to decorating, you know, just learning how to do things yourself, learning how to be more hands-on. YouTube is a great resource. I mean, everything literally is on YouTube. You can make your own lotions, body butter, soap, if you're really into that. I mean, there's just so many things that you can learn how to do, which can help save money. So just being resourceful.
That's the word, resourceful. Mm-hmm. And don't think you have to open your wallet each time. Sometimes it's just looking to see what can you actually do. Mm-hmm. That's very important. So number 7, which I think is Dr. B would really like, is always have a side hustle and an emergency fund and a plan B. Ask yourself, what can you do today to make it happen?
Yes. So you definitely, if you can try to find a side hustle, that is very important, because I know at one time on my road to this job that I have now currently, I had like 4 jobs. I was not playing.
Girl, any games. You sure did, honey. When I tell you, I was like, how is she getting all these jobs? Like this girl landed a job where she got paid, I think it was $500 just for 2 days for talking. I'm like, yo, hook me up.
Yes. So it's really interesting. Like you just have to really put yourself out there. I did do like a couple Q&A or question and answer consultations for a nonprofit where they invited me and they wanted to pay me. So I was like, oh yeah. So I really think like putting yourself out there, telling other people about what you do really helps, because I didn't even look for that. Someone just messaged me and said, hey, we would like to have you speak. And I was like, okay. And I've worked on projects that are just like per diem projects where I've been paid for a consultant view on a test or a situation. So just finding side hustles, that's very, very important, because if something was to happen where you don't have that job anymore, you have something to fall back on. Yes. Just like an emergency fund. Yes. And let me tell you guys, a week before I moved from Michigan, my tire, and I have an Audi, so my tire was flat. And see, there we go with indulgences, lifestyle, and splurging. So my tire went flat, and I called to get a tow to get it changed. Well, they punctured my gas tank, so I had to go get a whole new gas tank. This whole thing was like, it was like almost a $4,000 expense. And it was just a long battle with trying to get it paid for. But basically, after they paid for most of it, I had to come out like $1,000. And it's just like, see, that's why you have to have a savings account, because the devil be trying you. Like, it's just like, I was supposed to be moving in a week. Now I'm having car issues, and this is like a new car. So it's just like, that just went to show me that literally things just happen. Like, they just do. So you have to have an emergency fund.
Yes, you must do it all times, because you never know. And I can say I am a queen of all three. Mm-hmm. I believe in side hustles. It's just something I always seen growing up. And it's like, I consistently believe in, you should not have only one source of income.
Yeah, especially today. Now.
Yeah, especially. And even if you're a retail pharmacist, you definitely shouldn't have more than one. I mean, well, you know, let me not say that, because some people like being in their bubble and they don't mind it. But for me, I just can't have one string of income, because I just learned early on, what if something happens and that job doesn't come through, then what I'm going to do. So, yeah. And it comes with the plan B. Like, my side hustles are my plan Bs. Mm-hmm. And I always think of, like, what's the next thing to do? And I think that's where I have to sometimes chill out on, because I'm always in the future that I'm not in the present sometimes. So I have to make sure I have that balance too. For me. But emergency fund, I do believe in, because I just feel like, even going to pharmacy school, I was 16 hours from home. I had to always have at least $1,000. I mean, for some people, it's nothing. But, you know, if you're a pharmacist, that's a lot of money. So you always have to have at least $1,000, because I never knew what something would happen. I have to fly home. Even now, I have a very cushioned emergency fund, to where something happened, I need enough money to go. And that's how I think, even to the point where I have to say, if my parents were to pass away now, I don't have time to sit here and wait for insurance to clear. I need to have that money right now to bury my parents. Mm. So I think of stuff as in that factor, because you never know what would happen. And just for instance, just recently I had to fly home for a funeral. So I had money in my budget for that.
Right. Yeah. And then having a plan B is just important. You just never know how things will play out. So what... You should just always plan for the future. Plan for if things were to happen, where would you go from there? And so, and then if they nothing ever happens, then great. But, you know, you should always just try to plan. And that brings us to our eighth commandment. Ask where you want to be in 6 months, 2 years, and 10 years. Ask yourself, what can you do today that will make it happen?
And look, I think you just said, ask yourself, what can you do today to make it happen tomorrow? Because that is so profound.
Yes.
And that's what I tend to do at all times. I try to be a person of intentionality, where everything I do, there has to be a purpose behind of why I do it. I just can't do something to say I'm doing. And you always have to look at yourself. Where do you want to be? So the point where you look, if I want to be retired in 10 years, how is my spending reflecting that?
Yes. And you know what? I was reading this book. It's called Unscripted. And that's kind of like where the name for this podcast even stemmed from, because you have to really understand that life is about decisions. The decisions that you make today, how they will affect your future. And if you're a poor decision maker, you're not going to have a great or this vision of what you think that your life will be down the line if you're making poor decisions today. So I have been focusing on understanding the decisions that I have and trying to make the best decisions possible, so that in the future I can have a better life. And I want my life to look like how I envision it. And the way that you get there is through the decisions that you make. So, yeah. And that brings us to our ninth commandment. Remember that happiness is a byproduct of freedom. Work to give yourself options, not things. Woo, child. This is a word right here. Number nine. That's a word. Okay.
That's a word.
Yes. So, I will say this very loud and clear, because a lot of times it's a lot of problems as far as, okay, people don't know how to get into different careers using their doctorate or pharmacy degree. But then there's also the point to be made that a lot of people don't even have the freedom of doing it because of their financial obligation. I look at it now like this, because I didn't used to look at it like this before. When you buy something, especially something that's very expensive, you have to pay on it, like a house or a car or whatever, you no longer are just working for yourself to make money. You're working for that company. Like, I'm working for Audi to pay for my car. And there are some things that you have to make decisions based off of your financial obligations, because you're not free. If you didn't have all of those obligations, you'd be more freer to make the decision to start this business, to take time off. But what we have to realize is that the things that we buy and consume are also taking away our freedom. So if you look at it and if you look at things and you say, happiness is about the freedom of me being able to do different things, try different things, and not just actual things that you're consuming, you can be a lot happier. Because I hated my job that I left. It just got to be way too much, and I just could not do it anymore. I felt suffocated, and I had to take a leap of faith and leave that job. But if I had a whole lot of things that I was paying for, I would not have been able to do that. Not as freely as I was able to do it.
And like you said, you have to focus on how decisions you're making, is it going to cost your freedom? You always have to give yourself options in just anything in life. You can't just sit here and say, okay, I'm going to do this and this is going to be it. Because there's always change. There will always be change in life. That's consistent. And you always have to think about what are you doing that increases your happiness, so it can be the byproduct of the freedom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to number 10. Just like eating a slice of cake doesn't ruin a diet, spending too much money one weekend doesn't ruin a financial diet. Guilt isn't productive, but getting up and doing better tomorrow is. Yes. Mm-hmm. I am a true believer of this. Like, yes. Me going to visit on a, like, go on my traveling once a month, that would not break my budget, because I'm strict budget in other places, even down to, again, groceries, eating out. That's always, and that's my thing of fun, because if I'm honest, that's my time for fun, because I'm such a busy person where I have to schedule fun in, and sometimes fun is only once a week. And even with that fun, that may just be that's already my budget to go out with friends and eat out, or be in my budget to travel that weekend, you know? Mm-hmm. So I truly believe that, like, that one time thing would not ruin your financial diet. So don't be so, oh, I gotta do this and that. Schedule it in, because you need that balance, because you need it for your mental health and your overall wellness.
Yes, and two, guilt isn't productive. Sometimes you make mistakes, and then you have to just be reflective and say, this is what I need to work on. This is what I can improve on financially, and set goals. Sometimes the goal is too large, maybe. Cut it down and make it into steps, and try to achieve the steps to get you to that big goal that you want to see financially. So just making sure that you're not too hard on yourself, that you just don't give up because you feel like you can't do it. Make attainable goals. Get a financial advisor. If you really don't know that much about finances, get somebody who really does understand it so that you can learn. There are a lot of books out there. There are a lot of services on financial literacy, people that can help make budgets for you, can help you and your partner get on the same page if you're married, if you have kids, all of those type of things. And I know we said Mint.com, Robinhood for investing, I heard is really good. Acorns, I've heard of, which is really good. I personally use Social Money Finances, and I'll link them below for you. My financial advisor in the DC area, Rodney Griffin, but he also will see anybody anywhere in the States. So yeah.
As well as I'll say, educate yourself. I'm a firm believer of, I also have financial advisor, but before I invest in the financial advisor, I took the liberty to do the homework myself. Of course, you like books. Like, people always like the name Dave Ramsey. There are many people on YouTube. YouTube is so free, and they have a wealth of knowledge. That's how I met the lady Susie, which I'll link below. I can't think of her last name. And so use another app I use called Coins. Well, basically kind of like Acorns, where you take your change and you invest. You use the change with coins and pay off debt. So I was able to pay additional $1,000 or something with my credit cards off. They'll add the total of all the change I had for the month, and they'll send a bill to my credit card company. So I think that was good for me to help me pay off like all my credit card debt. So I would say my challenge for those who are listening, pick 3 out of 10. Pick 3 out of 10 that you want to do, make a plan, and stick to it.
Yes, so it is time for our jewel of the day. And that jewel comes from me, Dr. Bree. You do only live once, but you also need to prepare for rainy days and, most importantly, unforeseeable storms. You get one life, but you want to live that one life really good. So, that's the end of our show. Before we go, remember that sharing is caring. So, share this podcast with a friend or a colleague. Follow us on our social media platforms of Facebook and Instagram at FarmD Unscripted so you can interact with us, leave feedback, share your stories, and all that goodness that social media has to offer. Until next time, we will see you later.